Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Bethel Covenant Church podcast, where we host the latest sermons and other programming. You can also visit us on Facebook and YouTube to watch videos of our sermons, checking up with the latest updates, and to view further programming. If you'd like more information about our church, please visit our website at bethelcov.org. Thank you for listening to this program.
A gold prospector named George
Harvey was just east of the town now known as West Yellowstone, Montana. He traveled the area with Native Americans and, quote, spoke of a geyser that was regular in its eruptions. It was in 1870 that the Washburn-Doan-Langford expedition set out to officially document what has becoming common knowledge in the area. A hot spring geyser that would send water up high in the air and on a regular basis. It was Nathaniel Langford, part of that expedition, who noted, "It spouted at regular intervals 9 times during our stay, the columns of boiling water being thrown from 90 to 125 feet at each discharge, which lasted from 15 to 20 minutes. We gave it the name of Old Faithful." In 1871, the U.S. Geological Surveyor confirmed the name of Old Faithful, and in 1872, Yellowstone became the world's first national park. As the years have gone by, many people have visited the park, making a point to stop and seeing Old Faithful. And sure enough, water continues to be thrown into the air multiple times a day. After 1950, what scientists believed the result of local earthquakes, Old Faithful now no longer shoots water up every 60 to 70 minutes, but now it's observed shooting water up roughly every 90 minutes. Frequent enough, though, for people to keep coming and see an amazing spectacle. I can't help but wonder if it would not be more accurate to have Old Faithful be renamed to Old Reliable. I realize it doesn't have the same ring, but I think it may be a more accurate description. To say that a geyser is faithful is saying that it has a choice to spurt water or to not spurt water. That the geyser has a will, but geysers don't. They don't have a will. They don't have a conscience. They don't have to decide multiple times a day, will I or won't I shoot water in the air, and then ultimately deciding, yes, I am going to shoot water in the air. That's why I think faithful should be replaced with just reliable. Of course, there is not going to be a name change. It's not going to happen. Faithful, though, faithful is a great description of God's character and of people. To say that someone is faithful, that God is faithful, is saying that they are true to one's word, promises, and vows. In fact, that's the dictionary definition of faithful. This is who God is, and this is why Joseph could put his trust in God. Joseph knew God would be true to his word, true to his promises, and true to his vows. Or to use a biblical term, true to his covenant. We are able to describe Joseph's life in this way as well. He lived a faithful life. Joseph had a life of faith. Joseph's life of faith is seen in 3 ways. First, he was connected to God. Second, he lived with integrity. And third, his life was a life of service. So by quick review here, what we have seen so far in Joseph's life is that it's a life that we can actually relate to in many ways. 2 weeks ago, we saw that Joseph came from a pretty significant dysfunctional family. He was his father's favorite son out of 11 sons, which caused his 10 older brothers to hate him, so much so that they wanted to kill him. And then last week, we looked at the many losses Joseph went through. And in order to function, he no doubt grieved those losses. As a result of his grief and God's comfort, he was able to keep the faith. And this is what makes Joseph such a great person to look up to. Despite dysfunctional family and many losses, Joseph kept trusting God. And this is highlighted in our reading. The backstory to our reading is that Joseph had been sitting in jail for 2 years. That was part of the reading, as in fact. But then as he's sitting in jail for 2 years, out of nowhere, he was called up and requested to go to Pharaoh. Pharaoh's the ruler of the land or king of the land in Egypt. 2 years earlier, Joseph had met what was at the time the cupbearer and the baker for Pharaoh. They were only in jail for a few days. And while they were in jail, both of them had dreams. Both of them went to Joseph to understand their dream. And Joseph told both of them what their dream meant. One interpretation of the dream was good news for the cupbearer, and the other interpretation was not so good news for the baker. The baker was put to death, and the cupbearer was restored to his position. A position then that gave him an audience with Pharaoh, the most powerful political figure in the land. And Joseph asked the cupbearer one favor. "Remember me," he said. He wanted the cupbearer to remember him. He wanted the cupbearer to mention his case to Pharaoh, because as Joseph says in Genesis 40:13, "I am now here in prison, but I didn't deserve it. I don't deserve to be here." Unfortunately, when the cupbearer is restored to his position of bringing that cup to Pharaoh, he doesn't remember. He forgets about Joseph. He forgets to tell Pharaoh about Joseph. And it wasn't until 2 years later that he remembers. He's like, "Oh, I had a shortcoming here. I got to tell you about this guy." But even then, it's interesting in the story, even then the cupbearer doesn't really remember Joseph. He just remembers a young Hebrew. He doesn't remember the name. He just remembers that there's a young Hebrew who interpreted dreams. So Joseph is brought to Pharaoh, and here's how that conversation goes. Pharaoh says to Joseph, "When you hear a dream, you can interpret it." And Joseph says, "I cannot do it, but God will." "But God will" is spoken by a man who has placed his trust in God. "But God will" is a faith statement. Joseph's life has been one of dysfunction and grief. Why on earth would he place his faith in God? Yet he did. Joseph's faith guided him through life. To live a life of faith is to know that God is faithful, which starts by being connected to God and God's stories. Joseph heard the stories of God from his dad, from his dad's life. He heard the stories not only from his dad and his dad's life, but he heard stories from his dad about his grandfather's life. And he heard stories from his dad about his great-grandfather's life. The God of Joseph's great-grandfather, grandfather, and father is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What amazing stories that Joseph would have heard. Stories that are so amazing that we are still sharing them today. The God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob is also the God of Joseph. Think about the practical side of this for Joseph. Jacob would have told Joseph about his dad, Isaac. Isaac would have told Jacob about his dad, Abraham. And Abraham must have told Isaac about his encounters with God. So in order for Joseph to live a life of faith, Abraham shared stories to Isaac, who then shared stories about God and then added his own stories to Jacob, who then shared those stories and then added his own stories about God to Joseph. So as Joseph is feeling the hatred from his brothers at age 17, and experiencing the losses of his life in his early adulthood and throughout all of his life until we sort of meet him right now, it's the stories. I'm going to say it's the stories that help him, along with perhaps, and rightly so, not perhaps, but the sense of God's presence. Joseph also had this relationship with God to help him live a life of faith. And here's how I see the immediate application for us. Are we passing on the God stories that were passed on to us, along with our own stories of God? If someone in your life is not living a life of faith, could it be that the story of God, the story of how God has worked in your life, and the story of your family's life has yet to sink in for them? It's a two-way there, for sure. We can be passing on those stories, so it has yet to sink in, or maybe we're not passing on those stories. I don't know. But this is the question. What stories are we passing on? Not only do we have the stories found in the Bible, but there's the stories that we need to add about our experience of God. Do the people in your life know how you came to faith? What about the story of why you do daily devotional reading times and prayer and what that means to you? What about the story of why you come to church and how you connect to God? What about the story where you've experienced some sort of supernatural presence or peace or comfort that came from God? Are you passing that story along? Or the story of how God provided you in ways that you were not expecting? What stories are you passing on to those in your life so that then they would know and be able to live a life of faith? Examining Joseph's life and reflecting on my own life, it's interesting for me to notice that I cannot name any of my great-grandparents. Now, before we get too far, I did not draw that. I'm not that talented. I know both of my parents' stories of faith. I know 3 out of 4 of my grandparents' stories of faith. And here's the crazy fact, not just for me, but for the average person. In just 3 generations, so I've got my grandparents, my parents, and me being the third, I have no idea who my great-grandparents were. I don't know how they lived their life. I don't know their struggles. I don't know their experience of God. I don't even know if they were people of faith. I have one faint memory of one great-grandparent. His last name was Johnson, and he was from Wisconsin. But I don't know anything about him or my other 7 great-grandparents. Stories are important. They become absolutely critical when it's stories about God and passing down the faith. Your family needs to hear your stories. We here at Bethel, we need to hear your story. This is how we help each other live a life of faith. And this is what helped Joseph live a life of faith. And I'll add, if it's hard to verbally tell the story, write it down. And if it's hard to write it down, talk to someone who will write it down for you. Joseph, as a child, like all children, would have loved it when his dad or his mom took time to tell him a story. I don't think they had the book Goodnight Moon that they read to Joseph. But instead, Jacob would have told him about the time he wrestled with God. Joseph might have asked him, "Did you really wrestle with an angel?" And Jacob would have said, "Yes, the angel touched my hip, and that's why I limp." Jacob would have told Joseph about his dad found a wife at age 40. Isaac at age 40 finding a wife. If you think 40 is old now in 2023, it was really old in that culture. But perhaps Joseph's favorite story and a common request to his dad was, "Dad, could you tell me about the time great-grandpa was supposed to sacrifice grandpa and then God stopped him and then they sacrificed a ram instead?" And Jacob would say, sure, but just one time, and then off to bed you go. We meet Joseph at age 17, for all means and purposes, an adult. And then his life was turned upside down. And a question I'm sure he wondered was, is God faithful? Even though life is not going how I thought it was going to go, can I continue to put my trust in God? And it's because of the stories of God passed down to him that he was able to answer yes. In the stories that were told to him, he would have heard how Abraham's life did not play out how he thought it would. Was great-grandpa really 99 years old when grandpa was born? He would have heard how Isaac's life did not go how he thought it would. He would have heard how his dad's life did not play out how he thought it would. Were you really on the run from Uncle Esau? Yes, Joseph. But God blessed Esau as well, and your uncle forgave me, Jacob would tell him. Through the God stories, Joseph was connected to God and knew God would be true to his word, his promises, and his vows. Second, Joseph's life, his life of faith, is seen through his integrity. Joseph made the right decisions, even in the face of consequences. To be a person of integrity is to consistently choose to follow ethical standards. And for Christ followers, we're choosing to follow biblical ethical standards, even when no one is looking. Even when a person could get away with something, we continue to follow those standards. To be a person of integrity is to be a person with moral character. And Joseph continually followed high standards no matter the setting he was in. Whether it was at home and the youngest of 11 boys, a servant in Potiphar's house, a prisoner in jail, or second in charge over all of Egypt, Joseph continued in each and every setting to make the right choice no matter the consequence. And this is what it means to live a life of faith. Joseph's standards did not come from Moses and the law that was yet to come. That's after Joseph. So besides the stories that he heard about his dad and grandpa and great-grandfather, Joseph certainly would have known stories about Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, Noah and the flood. He would have known that God has a standard. Even without those stories, Joseph still would have had a sense of right and wrong. We as humans who are created in the image of God have this part of us. This is God's imprint on us. We know on some level what is right and what is wrong. There is a wild fishing story this past summer that happened to a 14-year-old young man who was fishing on Lake of the Woods in northern Minnesota. I'm not sure if he was trolling or jigging or casting, but all of a sudden, as he was fishing, his line gets heavy, he sets the hook, and he starts to reel. The fish isn't really fighting, but sometimes the fish don't always fight, so he keeps reeling. And as it gets closer and they see what it is, they realize that it isn't a fish at all, but a wallet. He opens the wallet, and inside he finds $2,000 cash. I realize this sounds like a fish story, but it's all true. It's all true. So at this point, the 14-year-old has a decision to make. Do I grab the cash, say finders and keepers, and throw the wallet back into the lake? Or do I keep looking through the wallet for any identification? All of us already have a sense of right and wrong, don't we? Yeah. So does Connor. That's the 14-year-old. His name is Connor. He continues to look through the wallet. He finds a business card. He calls the number on the business card. And sure enough, it's the owner of the wallet. The owner was a farmer from Iowa, who somehow lost the wallet a year previous on Lake of the Woods. The farmer drives up from Iowa, the two meet, and here we have an incredible story of what it means to have integrity. The consequence for Connor to not keep the $2,000 for himself, that was the consequence. He didn't even want a reward. The reward, though, was him having a clear conscience of being a person of good character. It is hard to do the right thing when there are consequences, but this is what God expects. May God enable us to be people of character in the workplace, in our relationships, with our neighbors, with our family, and friends. Third, Joseph's life of faith is seen as his life of service, no matter the circumstances. Just as he made the right decision in every circumstance he was in, he also made sure to serve in every circumstance he was in. Those circumstances being his home, Potiphar, prison, Pharaoh. In each and every circumstance, Joseph was a leader. Joseph was trustworthy and reliable. And as such, he was given responsibility. Responsibility that he said yes to. This is what it means to live a life of faith. To live a life of faith is to live a life of service. Being a leader is nothing more than being a servant. And I realize that isn't necessarily how the world defines leadership, but that's how God defines it. Wherever Joseph was, he served. And wherever Joseph was, he was asked to lead. What responsibility do you have now in your life? What responsibility do you have now here at Bethel? We certainly want people to come to Bethel and receive. Absolutely. We want people to get filled up, to sense God, to be encouraged, to be prayed for, to connect with friends, to experience a community of caring Christ followers. And whenever that happens, which is on a weekly basis, on a daily, weekly, monthly, yearly basis, whenever that happens, we are the church of God, the church that God wants us to be. But Bethel, too, is a place for you to live out your faith in regards to service. It'd be great for me to have everyone who is connected to Bethel to say, this is what I get from the church, and then whatever that list is. And then have everyone say, and this is how I serve at church, and whatever that list would be. And I just want to say thank you to the many. There are many, 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 many people who serve. Thank you. The ongoing challenge will be to have a spot for those who currently do not have a place that they're serving, and then to have a place for those that would be new among us. And this is a great challenge for us to have. Joseph lived a life of faith. We too are to live a life of faith. And we are able to do so because God is faithful. God is true to his word, his vows, and his promises. A life of faith is marked by being connected to God through God's stories, living a life of integrity, and living a life of service. This is what Joseph was able to do with God's help, and so will we. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are, for Joseph and those stories, Lord, to be the great grandson of Abraham. Oh, my goodness. And then his grandpa's Isaac, and his dad is Jacob, and how he heard firsthand the way that you were there for them. And you are that same God. You can be there for us. You are there for Joseph. May we know it, and may we live it out. We pray in your name. Amen.